Welcome back. 416, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. Andy Parks live from the Washington Times. And look who it is, live from Charlotte, North Carolina. Ladies and gentlemen, the award-winning Emily Miller and next husband of Donald Trump. Hello. Hi, Emily.
Hi, Andy. Yes, I'm down here at the Democratic Convention, feeling like a fish out of water.
I was gonna tell you that. I said, you know, what are you? I was gonna ask you, what the heck are you doing there? Anybody talking to you?
They are. You know, Andy, I'm so surprised, and I thought, I'll never get anyone, and they'll ignore me, and I'll just have to just do reporting from the speeches. But frankly, you know, they will talk to anyone as long as you accost them on the street and pretend you're really nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So. My whole reporting strategy has just been walking between the convention center where the press are and the Time Warner Arena where the convention is and just grabbing people on the street. And so today I saw Bill Burton walking on the street and said, can we talk for a while, and interviewed him, and then saw Terry McAuliffe talk for a while. So, I mean, it's kind of like there's a narrow sidewalk and that's all they can do. So, that's the way I've been talking to people.
Huh, that's pretty cool. I saw your piece, Obama's Not-So-Faithful Family, and I had to laugh because I know there's at least one state official or one member of Congress who only lives like right down the street from the arena, and yet he's not even going to show up.
That's right. Miles away. I mean, there are 31 major Democrats, you know, about four senators and a whole slew of congresspeople who aren't attending, you know, because they don't want to be associated with President Obama. I mean, you know, it's that bad. And, you know, granted, a second election for someone running for re-election is never going to have the enthusiasm of a first time. And that's just standard. But this drop in enthusiasm is like off the cliff. You know, 4 years ago, 75,000 people filled a stadium, President Obama standing in front of Greek columns like the god. I mean, Oprah Winfrey supposedly saying she cried and her eyelashes off. You know, I mean, it was the scene. And then, you know, flash forward, and suddenly this week, although he was supposedly giving his speech tomorrow in the stadium, now it's raining. Mm-hmm. It's raining, so we have to do it in a much smaller arena that we can fill every seat. You know, I mean, it's a shame that they couldn't fill the stadium, and now they're claiming, you know, that's why. They're claiming weather's the reason moving it inside, but it's just lack of enthusiasm. And, you know, you see all these members of Congress not coming. They don't want to be associated with some major people. I mean, you know, Senator Manchin from West Virginia, Congresswoman McCarthy in New York at Maloney. So, you know, it's just very telling. And the question is how much of that decreased turnout, you know, interest and enthusiasm will show a less turnout for Democrats in November.
Yeah, and I imagine some of them are running away from his stance on gay marriage, especially after they shot it down in that state not long after Obama had flip-flopped on it. Not to mention the unions hate the state. One leader the day before yesterday said he wondered why they were there to begin with because it was a right-to-work state. He didn't even want to be there.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, I don't know how comfortable they should be in Charlotte. It's really not, you know, it probably would be better in the Northeast. But, you know, there is a focus, which is what my story is tomorrow, my editorial, on these social issues, which are controversial, you know. I mean, the problem Obama has is he can't run on his record. And all people care about the economy, but what's he going to say? So unemployment is at 8.3%. It's never gone below 8% in the past 3 years that I've been president. Or, you know, the GDP growth is 1.2%, but it's better than a decrease. I mean, it's sort of not a very enthusiastic thing to say. So instead, they're focusing on these social issues. And you saw in the speeches last night, you hear about same-sex marriage, you hear about abortion, you hear about women's rights and gay rights and don't ask, don't tell, and all these things that really, if you're going to look at independent voters, the people they need to pull in, they're alienating a lot of people with that kind of talk. You know, and I talked to, as I said, Terry McAuliffe and Bill Burton, both acknowledged that, you know, social issues do have a big part here, which they didn't really in the Republican Party so much. It's more about the economy. But both say that, you know, that people are interested and, you know, that's part of their platform and what people care about. So,
yeah.
You know, it's a very, very risky maneuver and strategy to really put those things, you know, in the forefront and hope to still get the independent voters.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting you talk about that because last night I was watching PBS only because I pay for it, you know, in one way or the other.
Right.
And David Brooks of the New York Times was there, and he he really went after the organizers of the convention, saying that, hey, get off of this social issues stuff and get down to the economy and jobs. That's what America cares about. And I was floored by that. Here's a Democrat slamming the Democrats.
That's so interesting. I hadn't heard that. And I think, you know, it's really telling. I was sitting here, you know, listening to the speeches last night. And obviously, you know, as a conservative, I was, you know, really turned off by this rhetoric. But I was, it just kept standing out to me. I mean, how often they mentioned don't ask, don't tell. How every speech mentioned same-sex marriage. I mean, things that are really split the country. I mean, it's really not an inclusive and really just talking to the base. And it's because what are they going to say about the economy? They've had 3.5 years in the presidency, and two of those, they have the House and Senate. You know, the economy is just as bad as it always has been. You know, we still have high unemployment, still have a low growth, and, it, you know, Obama's got nothing new to offer. And you read their platform that they are voting this week, and it, you don't see any new policies. It's just more government spending, which we all know has been proven to fail.
Yeah.
Already, Andy.
Mm-hmm. All right. There are those in Hollywood who still love the guy, and you mentioned Ashley Judd.
Another one I said saying, and the one thing is that, you know, this convention compared to Tampa is filled with, like, real celebrities, I have to say. I mean, we had Clint Eastwood in Tampa, and I thought that was fantastic. But otherwise, there's a couple of sort of B and C-listers, quite frankly, because Hollywood, you know, as I've, you know, written, it's better to be an adulterer or a drug addict in Hollywood than a Republican. So, but here in you know, Hollywood is allowed to be Democrats, encouraged. So here you get, like, really A-list stars just walking around the streets. And so I was walking down the street and saw Ashley Judd, and she's absolutely beautiful, I might add. And talked to her for a while and wondered about the enthusiasm. And she said, you know, Obama's job performance is fantastic. Things are going really well. You know, and so as if, like, nothing was, there was no problems whatsoever. And I even asked her about the price of gas, and she said, well, that's not, the president has nothing to do with that. It's the oil companies. So, I mean, there's this sort of delusion with the celebrities. And, you know, most celebrities are not intelligent. Ashley Judd went to Harvard, so I would assume she's pretty smart. But, you know, they just have this mindset of, you know, he's their celebrity president. And they're just kind of stick to him no matter what.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the White House has nothing to do with high gasoline prices, although I do recall I recall Nancy Pelosi pointing the finger directly at George Bush and Dick Cheney. Remember, the guys in the White House are responsible for the high price of gasoline.
That's right. I mean, it was such a ridiculous comment. I couldn't even have a follow-up to her on that. I just said, okay, leave it at that.
Yeah.
But I have to say, I mean, the people here are, you do see a lot of more pretty people because they've got these celebrities just sort of cruising the streets and, you know, trying to be smart and intellectual.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, people don't care. You know, as much as there was such an attack on Clint Eastwood last week, which I really think was driven more by the media than by any people, you know, I think most people thought, you know, it wasn't the greatest speech ever, but he's so fantastic and he's Clint Eastwood and, you know, it's really cool. And I think most of the backlash came from the left because they're so pissed off that you got Clint Eastwood's Republican and openly supporting Mitt Romney. That said, I don't think anyone changed their vote, positive or negative, based on what Clint Eastwood said. And I don't think anyone changed their vote based on what George Clooney is saying or Ashley Judd is saying. You know, I mean, these people, they are good for fundraising, these people, and they're good for enthusiasm, but, you know, bottom line, people are voting on the pocketbook.
Yeah. Hey, there was an effort to get Betty White for tomorrow night. Have you heard any more on that?
I have not. I think that was, I don't know if it was an effort or a hoax or what it was. I mean, I think they have a lot of big bands playing tomorrow night, like Foo Fighters and James Taylor's playing. So one thing to be said, you know, I have to say, as much as I want to jump out of my chair in the arena during these speeches and like, cover my ears or gouge my eyes out, at least they're going to have good entertainment tomorrow night before Obama, so we don't have to listen. It's going to be too painful.
Yeah, yeah, but the love of your life, Donald Trump, won't be there.
I know, poor Donald Trump, and he tweeted my column yesterday, bless his heart.
Oh, wow, how about that?
Yeah, right. I mean, we love our Donald Trump at the Washington Times.
Wow.
He's my favorite celebrity.
Man, he's infatuated with you.
He said to me, and I actually, because I'm writing a little something else about him, taken from an interview with him, and I caught it, and I didn't notice it the first time in my tape. He said, he looked at his advisor, and he points to me, and he's like, she's more conservative than I am.
Wow.
And I, yes, yes, I am, sir. And he said, you really are very conservative. I like it.
How about that? How about that?
But that was about the time when I told him about my SIG. So that shocked him.
Okay.
But he's a gun owner and has a carry permit in New York. So
yeah.
Strongly for Second Amendment rights.
All right. Well, if you ever do become wife number four, I want an invite to the wedding, okay?
Absolutely. I'll even give you $1 million because we'll have so much.
I'm going to hold you to it. You said it on the radio. I've got it.
There you go.
All right, Emily. Have a great time. We'll talk later. Thank you.
Thanks. Take care. Bye.
Bye. Emily Miller, Washington Times senior editor of the Opinion Pages. 427, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT.